I definitely want to thank Mr. Knox for giving that gift to Payne College. Thank you, Mr. Knox. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the second major gift that he's given. If I'm not mistaken, he had given a $1 million gift previously. And he has given this one as well. Mr. Knox, thank you so much for helping us keep this legacy alive and hopefully growing. When you receive gifts like that, you have that kind of support, it can go such a long way towards helping to really turn things around. And so hopefully we have everyone on board we need who will definitely be managing the resources very, very well, and so that we see a major turnaround soon with Payne College. And again, Mr. Knox, thank you very, very much for helping the Garden City keep a legacy alive. We have so much good here. Payne College, Medical College of Georgia, now Augusta University, as the Medical College of Georgia and Augusta College merged. Legacy, powerful legacy. It just wouldn't be good for any of our academic legacies to be allowed to fade away. Thank you again, Mr. Knox, for helping us keep this one alive. All right, so we're taking a look at safety of travel with a special focus on planes. And no doubt, while no means of transportation is perfect, a lot of people are thinking that now's as good a time as any to go ahead and ride the plane. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to safety, transportation safety, there are lots of ways to measure risk. According to Frederick Lemieux, who's a criminologist and professor at Georgetown University, and he says that researchers primarily quantify the risk of various transportation methods by looking at the number of deaths per passenger miles traveled. The number of deaths per passenger miles traveled. One passenger mile is the equivalent of 1 mile traveled by one passenger. So again, the number of deaths per passenger miles traveled, with one passenger mile equaling 1 mile traveled by one passenger. So two people in the same car with the same destination would be racking up 2 passenger miles. Two people in the same car with the same destination would be racking up 2 passenger miles. For every billion passenger miles traveled by car, approximately 7.2 people die, according to a 2013 study in the journal that's entitled Research in Transportation Economics. While the number of deaths varies from year to year, approximately 3.17 people die on ferries per billion miles traveled. So lock those in. Per billion miles traveled by car, we have approximately 7.2 people dying. For every billion miles traveled by ferry, we have approximately 3.17 people dying. On the train, urban rail, or bus, we have fewer than one person dying. Fewer than one person dying. So you notice how the numbers went down. Car, and again, billion passenger miles. In 1 billion passenger miles traveled by car, we have approximately 7.2 deaths. When the travel is by ferry, we have approximately 3.17 deaths. When the travel is by train or urban rail or by bus, less than one person dies. But the plane is even safer, at least by this one measurement. For every billion passenger miles traveled by commercial air, just 0.07 people die. 0.7%, I'm sorry, 0.07 of one people die. 0.07 people die for every billion passenger miles traveled by commercial air. Does that comfort any of you who are reluctant to fly to friendly skies at all? Or are you just as nervous, just as tense as before? Those of you who like flying, do you feel even more enthused about flying or about the same? When it comes to planes, that's a pretty good track record, but Lemieux has his concerns. While the number of deaths per mile traveled is an important statistic, he says that risk models that prioritize this number over others are fundamentally incomplete. Airlines and international associations that are providing standards for risk assessment have a very narrow approach at looking at risk and safety in the airline industry. While deaths are rare, flyers often have other negative and even dangerous experiences during air travel that are worth reexamining. For example, experiments designed to track the efficacy of the TSA have shown the agency often fails to expose dangerous and illegal items that are in luggage. Economic woes mean that pilots are often overworked and planes may be flown too long without inspection. These can result in disastrous events down the line. Pilots overworked, and they're flying us tens of thousands of feet in the air. People may experience injuries from turbulence or other near misses. These are problematic even if they're not fatal, according to Lemieux. But time and again, planes have been shown to be a safer mode of transportation, at least in terms of getting you to your destination alive. Now, you may not be necessarily super happy, but you are alive. In the aftermath of 9/11, for example, thousands of Americans canceled their flights out of fear. Researchers were able to demonstrate that the uptick in people driving instead of flying in the months after the World Trade Center attack was associated with an increase in traffic deaths. In a 2012 paper on the topic, the scientists argued that there were 1,600 more traffic deaths between October 2001 and September 2002 that would otherwise have been expected, likely as a result of anxieties around air travel. Terrorists can strike twice, first by directly killing people, and second, through dangerous behaviors induced by fear in people's minds, according to the study authors. This risk avoidance response was reasonable, according to Lemieux, given the historically unprecedented nature of the 9/11 attacks. But many years and research papers later, persistent air anxieties don't make much sense. Curiously, 2001 was actually the first year in a 15-year-long global decline in the number of airplane hijackings. Of the 1,066 hijackings recorded by the Aviation Safety Network since 1931, only 50 have been reported since 9/11. Even when presented with the data, then, why are so many people so convinced that planes will kill us? Been a lot about that flight phobia. The Guardian claimed, more or less, that air travel is a proverbial lightning rod for all of anxieties about modernity. The Washington Post has reported on a cottage industry of flight therapists who use exposure therapy, which means forcing the fragile client onto a knuckle-clenching flight, and other methods to desensitize those who don't want to be up in the air. One study by a flight school showed that a controlling nature and a big imagination are predictors of aviophobia. And according to Lemieux, the average passenger's inability to distinguish between what's normal and what's not only exacerbates the problem. While most of us can easily determine if a car engine is on the fritz, every sound a plane makes sounds potentially disastrous to untrained ears. And what's more, if something were truly wrong many people believe, rightly or wrongly, that they'd be able to take over a car and save the day, but not so with the plane. But there could be another factor contributing to our plane paralysis, and they say media coverage may be partly to blame. Let's look at this some more in just a few.